KJAN Sports.
Time to check sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. Our sports update this morning is brought to you by Marnie Elkhorn Telephone Company. Check with them for complete internet hookup. Well, let's check high school baseball action last night. Game heard here on KJAN last evening. The Cam Cougars got back in the winning groove Wednesday night with a 13-2 win in five innings over the Audubon Wheelers. After dropping their first two games of the season to ranked Class 2A opponents Monday and Tuesday, the Cougars bounced back with a strong outing. It was a close game early with a 1-1 score after an inning and a half. Then the Cougars took advantage of some Audubon errors to take control. Cam scored two runs in the bottom of the second when some miscommunication in shallow center led to a dropped potential final out by Audubon. Cam scored three more in the third as Ben Tibkin made it home on a fielding error. Joe Kaufman and Cade Tickner scored when a pickoff attempt to second by Ethan Clucky sailed into center field. Then the Cougars really poured it on in the fourth with a seven-run frame, the barrage highlighted by a three-run homer from Cade Tickner to left center field, his third round-tripper of the season. That inning pushed the lead to 13-2, and the Wheelers weren't able to pull under the 10-run mercy rule in the fifth. After the game, Tickner talked about his home run.
I'd watched a pitch or two before and was feeling it. I walked two times before that and saw the pitch I liked and took it yard, I guess.
Tickner said this was a big game for the team to get back on track.
Those first two games of the week, I think we definitely weren't quite prepared for Monday, and we decided we improved by Tuesday, and we really improved tonight, and we thought we hit the ball really well, and Joe threw a great game also, so definitely improving throughout the week.
Cam improves to 11-2 on the season, and they have one more regular season tune-up on Friday at West Central Valley before starting district play on Saturday at home against Orient Maxburg. Audubon falls to 9-6 on the year. They'll host Earlham Thursday before they host Arweva in district action on Saturday. Also in non-conference baseball around the region last night, it was Tri-Center topping Atlantic 10-7. Brody O'Brien had a couple of hits and a couple of RBI, while Gunnar Kirchhoff had a pair of hits also for Atlantic. Also, it was AHSTW over Griswold 15-0. ACGC beat Glenn Ralston 17-5. East Mills over Red Oak 8-7. Lewis Central swept Sioux City North in a doubleheader 17-0 and 10-0. Carroll over Kemper Catholic, 24-10. Stanton beat East Union, 22-2. Lawton Bronson over IKM Manning, 17-2. Des Moines Christian, 12-2 over Trainer. Coon Rapids Bayard beat Newell Fonda, 10-4. Also in the Hawkeye 10 Conference, Denison over Clarinda, 2-0. And the Pride of Iowa Southeast Warren beat Lennox, 8-4 in baseball. In softball play last night around the region, in Hawkeye 10 play, Lewis Central beat St. Albert 7-4. In Western Iowa Conference, it was Trainer over Riverside 20-8. Pride of Iowa Conference play saw Lennox beat Southeast Warren 7-4. Also in non-conference play, Cam edging Audubon 6-5. Exira EHK over IKM Manning 11-3. AHSTW beat Nottoway Valley 4-3. Shenandoah over Griswold 7-2. East Union beat Stanton 4-1. Underwood over Fremont Mills 7-2. Southwest Valley beating Sydney 8-6. And Woodbine over Missouri Valley by a 10-2 final. FRK architect and engineer principal Tom Woolen Wednesday updated the Atlantic School Board on the various district athletic facilities projects. Woolen said water ponding issues on the south end of the Trojan Bowl appear to have finally been resolved, but the contractor is running about 4 weeks behind schedule, putting the first home football game on September 11th into question.
Their critical path, what they call the things that need to take place for progress to move forward, has long been that retaining wall. Once that's done, they can backfill it and start putting the elements that are on top of the retaining wall, such as the sidewalk paving, the railing, the bleachers, and then also work below that retaining wall to install the curb for the synthetic turf, install the asphalt for the track, and then get the synthetic turf people in there to complete their system.
Additional details on the scheduling is expected next week. Woolen said they're working hard to make up for lost time caused by the water detention issue and the solution. He also said the state fire marshal threw the district a costly curveball with regard to bleacher lighting.
And what it is emergency lights to illuminate the aisles as you exit the bleachers at the Trojan Bowl. And they went ahead and said that they're going to require that same exiting pathway to be illuminated at the softball and baseball bleachers.
Wolland said the International Building Code Bleacher Code does not require aisle lighting, but the fire marshal has the final say, and that means an additional cost of $28,000. Wolland said FRK thought lights on top of the press box would suffice, but they were told that doesn't qualify as emergency lighting. In other news, the Atlantic School District Superintendent Steve Barber reported that fundraising to pay for the $600,000 field turf addition at the Trojan Bowl amounts to $412,000 so far. Well, Northern Iowa basketball coach Ben Jacobson says two of his players tested positive for COVID-19. The UNI Athletic Department reported 7 positive tests late last week.
Both guys feel great. Both guys are doing great. They're following all the protocols. They're back in line now to get back and join the group because it's been long enough since they had symptoms and long enough since they tested positive. So following the protocol, but that impacted us there just a little bit.
Jacobson says it's critical for the players to remain cautious. Missouri Valley Conference Commissioner Doug Elgin says if the basketball season began today, he would not feel comfortable with league teams playing games. Elgin says league officials are looking at various options to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic.
Our top priority is health and safety of our student athletes and our, quite honestly, our staff, anyone really involved in the administration of games, and also the fans. So, again, I think it's a little bit too early to make some of those determinations as to whether or not we could start a fall season right now. I do think things may look a lot differently, probably will, when you turn the calendar to August. And I do think that we're soon going to be reaching a point where we have to make some of those very tough decisions.
Elgin says some difficult decisions are coming in the next few weeks, and one of the biggest issues will be establishing testing protocols for all sports.
We think there may be some kind of national standard, a floor, if you will, for testing protocol. We don't know yet what that's going to look like, but we do have some time on our side right now as we look ahead to late July, certainly, and we'll have to make those decisions rather soon involving our president's council and our joint committee.
Elgin says, like nearly everyone in college athletics, the Valley took a large financial hit from the loss of the NCAA basketball tournament. Muirfield Village is gearing up for the first doubleheader on the PGA Tour in 63 years. A new tournament called the Workday Charity Open starts today on the course Jack Nicklaus built, and then it's on to the memorial the tournament Nicklaus created. The goal for tour officials is to protect the condition of the course from 157 players this week and 120 players next week. They also want to try to present a different test. That means slower greens, different tees, and rough that isn't quite as high this week. The last time the PGA Tour had back-to-back tournaments on the same golf course was in 1957, 5 years before Nicklaus turned pro. The All-American Open and the World Championship of Golf were played at Tam O'Shanter in Illinois. Workday is a one-time event replacing the canceled John Deere Classic. 3 PGA Tour players who have tested positive for the coronavirus but are no longer symptomatic will play together at the Workday Charity Open. The tour announced the change Wednesday in the latest revision of its COVID-19 policies. Nick Watney will play alongside Dylan Fratelli and Denny McCarthy during the first 2 rounds at Muirfield Village in Dublin, Ohio. Watfield was the first tour player to test positive and reported mild symptoms. The tour said all 3 players continue to test positive for the virus, but have met the Centers for Disease Control guidelines for return to work. Players in those circumstances will either be grouped together or play as singles. And with no guarantee of fans, there won't be a Ryder Cup this year. The PGA of America says the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits in Wisconsin has been pushed back to 2021 because of the pandemic. The PGA Tour still hasn't allowed spectators at its events, and no other golf tournament is dependent on partisan cheering like the Ryder Cup. After working with the PGA Tour and its President's Cup, the decision was reached to move the Ryder Cup to September 24th through the 26th in 2021. That means the President's Cup will return to even-numbered years starting in 2022 at Quail Hollow in North Carolina. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by Marnie Elkhorn Telephone Company. Check with them for a complete internet hookup. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.